Alexander, great stuff. Please pray with me. May I speak now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. My name's Piers Coutts. I'm a licensed lay minister here at St. Mary's, and I'm also the church treasurer, which is a coincidence that's quite convenient for today and not an accident. Wow, don't the years go by fast? Here we are, and it's already time again for the annual talk on money and giving. Actually, I have to confess, it's not quite 12 months since the last one. We brought it forward a few weeks this time, so we've just got a new cycle going for the year now. It seemed more sensible to have it before the start of the year rather than after we'd already begun in January. There's an old story, and it's so convenient it's probably made up, of a church which had just appointed a new minister. His first sermon really delighted them. It was all about the need to love each other. Next week, the more alert people thought something sounded a bit familiar, but the talk was on such a good topic, the need to love each other, that they settled down and enjoyed it again. In week three, concerns started to spread as the vicar preached the same sermon again. And by week four, the church wardens or elders, you can edit this tale to suit any denomination, asked for an urgent private meeting with their new leader. Sorry, Your Reverence, have you not got any other talks to give us, they asked. Oh, yes, he said, I've got lots. I thought I'd wait until you'd done the first one before moving on to something else. Which is rather a roundabout way of saying some of this morning's stuff might sound just a tiny bit familiar to you. In my early days as a Christian, I was a member of a young people's group, which wasn't linked to any particular church. And thinking about which church to join, I remember the leader, Clem was his name, giving this slightly negative assessment of Church of England churches. The problem with C of E churches, he said, is they don't have toilets, so you can't have any event lasting much more than an hour. And they don't teach tithing, so they're always short of money. Ouch. Well, I wonder how we here at St. Mary's measure up to my old mentor Clem's two tests. Are we okay? Well, toilets, yes, we do have them. I think we all agree they're due for a refit, and we probably could do with more of them as well. We plan to tackle this, although it turns out that it won't be quite as simple as we thought, but we're hoping to make progress on this during the next year. What about giving? Well, we seem to be on track to meet our everyday budget this year of just under £210,000, and the PCC will be considering the 2020 budget in a few days' time. But it looks as though we'll need about 4%, about £9,000 more next year. However, this is not a talk about budgets or lose, it's a sermon. So I need to turn now to the spiritual principles at the heart of the topic of generosity and giving. And let's have a look at today's three readings. The first is from the prophet Malachi, speaking in about 430 BC. There was a generation of Jewish people had returned to their land from exile, but their initial joy had waned, and they were now losing the hope that had sustained them. They were neglecting the requirements of their faith, their religious observance had become mere ritual, and the prophet criticizes a number of aspects of their failure. In this particular extract, he's highlighting the inadequacy of their temple offerings, as he describes the meagerness of their giving and describes them as robbing God. Will a mere mortal rob God, and yet you're robbing me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, you and your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Wow, these prophets certainly went for tough stuff. The principle of the tithe, giving a tenth of your produce for religious purposes, existed in many ancient societies and was part of the law of Moses. In Leviticus 27, we hear, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. This ancient principle can be useful to us and I'll return to it shortly. But at first, I'd like to give a couple of warnings here. First one is to remember this passage is from the Old Testament and therefore forms part of the Old Covenant. Whilst it is still an instructive concept, its force as law does not apply to us as Christians, for we're not under the Old Covenant, but under the new, the law of love. The other cautionary note I really want to put in here is to beware of the misleading belief that the more you give to God, the richer you get. Whilst it's true God blesses those who give to him in whatever way, that doesn't mean we'll always have lots of money or an easy life. If that were true, then it would mean that any Christians who are poor or who've lost everything through war or natural disaster were somehow being punished by God for their lack of generosity. And this so-called prosperity gospel is a false teaching which can have some terrible negative effects. Well, that's the Old Testament picture. Now let's look at what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 6. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is classic Jesus. He doesn't get bogged down in detailed rules about what we should or should not do. He goes straight to the root of the matter. Where is your heart's true home? Is it in your money, your jewelry, your pension, or your property? Just look at what happens to them when the stock markets collapse, banks fail, or floods rise. It could all be gone. In one way, Jesus' teaching is imprecise. It doesn't tell us to do this or do that, but in practice, his message is stark. Get your heart, your priorities sorted out, then you can work out the details later. So we've seen teaching by Malachi, an Old Testament prophet, and from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Now I want to have a look now at some of St. Paul's practical advice to the Christians at Corinth. Now we've had a couple of confusions this morning. First of all, the screen said it was from 1 Corinthians, but the reading was actually from 2 Corinthians. And actually the passage I had intended was from a chapter later. But here's the great thing about God, is that actually all of chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are all about giving and generosity. So the reading that we got was just as relevant as the one I'd planned. So isn't that great, eh? So you can always sort it out. I'm going to read you a slightly different passage, however, to the one we heard. Remember this, says Paul about a little bit later from the passage we heard. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Now, the whole of chapters 8 and 9, as I say, are about generosity, and the context here was a particular financial gift that was being made from one group of Christians going to another. Paul emphasizes that generosity like this needs to be spontaneous, to be unforced. It flows from and is evidence of people's experience of God's grace to them. The heart comes first. As they've learned about and experienced God's love for them, so they respond in a similarly generous manner. So I want to take some lessons from these passages. First of all, the principle of giving to God was there right at the start, was a key component of people's duties under the Old Covenant. Secondly, that Jesus, as so often he did, took this Old Testament principle and widened it out. He freed people from mechanically keeping a law, but replaced it with a requirement which was much tougher, to test our own hearts and examine our own motives against the standard of God's own generosity. And St. Paul's teaching followed the same thread. The question of how much we should give is not about obedience to this or that rule. It's about how we respond to Jesus' generosities to us. We sometimes say in our services, and actually it came out in the intercessions at 9 o'clock, interestingly, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Getting our hearts right is the important thing, and everything else, thoughts, speech, action, words, wallet, and work, they will all follow. Right, that's the theory. Now for some practical guidelines, as they say, some frequently asked questions. Well, if you didn't ask them, you're going to hear the answer anyway. And actually, even if you don't listen, you've got a handout with the service to take home with you, so you can check them out there. So what are these practical principles? The number one principle is, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. It's between you and God, it's nobody else's business. Secondly, how much anybody gives, of course, has to be related to their ability to pay. Remember how Jesus praised a widow for giving just a couple of coppers, because he knew that was all she had. So, the big one. What about the tithe, the 10% principle? Well, although it's an Old Testament concept, there's nothing wrong with it, at least as a starting point. I'm really glad that Katie and I were taught it right at the beginning when we were new Christians, before we left university. It meant that when we got married and set up home, we planned our budget, our mortgage, all of it, based on 90% of our income, so that giving wasn't too much of a strain. I thoroughly recommend any young people starting out life as Christians to do the same. However, if somebody comes into the faith having already got a massive mortgage and a family budget that only just works as it is, then giving 10% would be much harder, indeed probably impossible, at least at first. Sometimes you have to work towards things. Next, should our giving all go to the church, or should we split it between church and other good causes? Guess what? It's up to you. God's like that. Katie and I split ours, but the majority goes to the church. Now, Katie and I are fortunate that we are both Christians, but what if your partner isn't? Should you try and insist on giving a substantial amount and ramroad it through? Well, my advice would be not if you want your relationship to last. As with all relationship stuff, financial things definitely need to be worked through together and not done unilaterally. What if you're really broke and you couldn't possibly afford to give 10%? Will God condemn you for that? What do you think? No! He's not like that. Deal with it, plan it with your loving Heavenly Father. Now the rest of us. What if you're pretty rich? Can you stop giving at 10%, sit back and relax? No, it doesn't work like that either. 10% is just a starting point, a guideline for beginners. If you've been blessed with riches, good. Enjoy them and enjoy being more generous. As St. Paul said to those whom God had blessed with wealth, it's so that you can be generous on every occasion, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Well, that's just a few what-ifs about giving. But remember, if we try and pin it all down to some simple rules, we're probably not asking the right questions. It all comes down to this. God is generous to us, and he wants us to be generous in our turn. Neither I nor any other speaker can tell you what you should do in this matter. Even St. Paul didn't do that, and he can be pretty bossy at times. It's up to each of us to decide within our own families between us and God. Right, well, that's the preacher part of this morning. So today what I want to now do is just fill you in the local context now, adding a few facts and figures from my other standpoint as church treasurer. And the first one is to say an enormous thank you. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, our donors. Without your regular financial support for the everyday budget, there in the background, the church just couldn't function. Please don't ever think that your gift, as some people have said to me, I'm sorry, Piers, it isn't very much. That's not true. Everything we give, whether time, caring, money, or whatever, is appreciated by God. Again, St. Paul said, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have. You can be quite sensible sometimes. Second, please, please, please plan your giving, as that means we can plan our spending. The parish giving scheme, one visual aid for the morning, the form. Parish giving scheme is our preferred method of planned giving, and it's a great help to us. PGS, parish giving scheme, do all the admin, they do all the gift aid claims, they send us a single payment each month with a single list. 77 of us are now using PGS, around 2/3 of those currently giving monthly, and more are signing up all the time. So if you haven't done so yet, forms are available today, as they say, they're on the table or can be had from me. Being a regular giver is part of saying you belong to the family here at St. Mary's, along with the rest of your giving in terms of time and talents. Next, what about next year's budget? Well, the church's general spending in 2020 will be around £217,000, an increase of about 4%, about £9,000 on the comparable amount last year. This is an indication of the size of challenge as we go into next year. Next, a quick word about the building repair project. Do you remember all those weeks we had the scaffolding in church up here and we're working around it? We even had a wedding of a scaffolder, which was so appropriate at the time. The overall cost of that project was £144,000. But thanks to the money we'd put aside in recent years to our building reserves, some support from local trusts very generously, a loan from another charity, and your terrific response given to the appeal in late 2018, over £15,000 given in a week there, we made it. Over the next few years, we'll be repaying the loan and rebuilding our depleted building reserves, but we've made a start on that this year, and we will continue the process next. Then there's the big one, the building transformation project. Seems to have been going on for ages, doesn't it? These things have that way. I'm pleased to say the process of getting the approvals for this scheme is now making real progress. The four of us met with a few members of the Diocesan Advisory Committee, and our jaws dropped as suddenly it was all positives. Why don't you do this? Well, that's what we wanted to do anyway. Great. So we're now in a position to go ahead for the formal approval process, and that should start happening in the next month or two. So stand by for some heavy consultations going on around that one. £275,000 was pledged in response to our appeal a couple of years ago. Over 80% of that money's come in already. And together with some previous historic individual donations, some historic St. Mary's trusts, this has taken the total available for the project by the start of October, assuming all pledges are fulfilled, to £565,000, an enormous amount of money. You should all have received a letter about this project in the last couple of weeks, and I'm excited to say that by last Sunday, £15,000 or more pledges came in, and I've had another couple stuffed into my hand this morning as well. So I want to say another big thank you to you all for that as well. The total is therefore now over £580,000. And if there are any more completed pledge forms just lying around in the kitchen, don't worry about missing the deadline. There's no deadline to this one, and I'll be delighted to receive them as well. Okay, that's the local stuff. What about mission? What about the wider world? Well, during 2019, our four good causes have been the work Elisa's doing in Brazil, our Link project, to Kenya with Love, our overseas project, to the Children's Society, our UK project, and the CAP Debt Centre, our local one. We've set this structure up for the last few years, a link, overseas, UK, local, to give us a structure to our giving. The PCC will be finalising the choices of causes for next year in a meeting in a few days' time. Just so you know, our aim is to give away around £20,000, about 10% of our unrestricted charity income, to somebody that isn't us each year. The sort of theory is, if we're asking people to give 10% of their money to the church, then we ought to set a good example and be giving 10% of our budget to other people than ourselves. So about half this amount comes out of our regular budget from your general donations and is paid each month to the four causes by standing order. That lets those charities plan just like we like to plan. And the other 50% of the money comes, we hope, from donations made to these causes and from fundraising events, because we love doing the odd fundraising event as well, and it gets more engagement with the causes. Our charity fundraising target this year is £10,300, and we had, when I looked it up on Thursday, £1,985 to go on that one by the end of the year. Now, something nobody wants to hear about. What about wills and legacy planning? Wills are the last thing, literally, and most of us want to think about, I suppose. But including a donation to the church in your will can make an enormous difference, especially to things like the Building Transformation Project. In addition, the economist in me here, depending on your circumstances, there can be tax advantages as well. Legacies are a vital source of income for charities. I looked it up. In 2018, charities in the UK received £285 million from legacies and wills. That's more than all 39 red-nosed days combined. We at St Mary's received a £5,000 legacy this year, and we put it straight into the Building Transformation Project. So, making a will is a very important thing to do, so don't put it off. And if you want to include a gift to St Mary's, well, I'm not stopping you. So there you go. And finally, I love it when preachers say finally. And finally, we're taking another step into the 21st century, folks. You'll notice shortly, and I hoped it was going to be here for today, but when we opened the box, it was not what we wanted. We are going to be having a terminal in church, which takes contactless donations. Ho-ho! The product is called Goodbox. The diocese are now promoting this, and actually, it's cost us over £500, but a member of the congregation has given us the money to do this. So there will be a terminal there, so you can just tap and give as you leave the church. So look forward to that as well. Well, that's a lot to think about. So here are just a few suggestions to take home. First, and I put them as action points on your handout as well, you can't forget. If you do currently just give when you think about it, do please sign up as a regular giver using PGS. The forms are available today on the table from me or there. If you're already giving regularly but using an old-fashioned standing order, please consider switching to Parish Giving Scheme. It's easy to do and it saves me a load of work. And if you're already a regular giver and it's been a while since you last reviewed your giving, why not do so now so the new amount can be in place for the start of January? And I'm going to say that thing which most treasurers wouldn't ever, but if you review your giving and you think, oh, my income's gone down, then please consider reducing the amount you're giving. If we're encouraging you to relate the amount you're giving to the income you have, then you should be encouraged to do that as well. But of course, if your income's higher, then yes. And if you're considering or making or updating your will, do consider a donation to St Mary's. However, leaving aside all that stuff, let's leave you with the two most important principles of all. St Paul said, give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And Jesus said, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Thank you.